Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Love HQ podcast. This is a place for women who want to explore love, sex, dating, and relationships through an unconventional approach of ditching the normal dating advice, prizing yourself as an individual, and listening to expert interviews from all different walks of life, focusing on how you can get more in touch with yourself as a person, develop better relationships, and live life on your terms.
Hello, my name's Hayley Quinn, and welcome back to another episode of Love HQ, where, bold claim, this is the only place where you're going to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing about the truth about dating, sex, love, and relationships. So if you are constantly trapped in a cycle of, you know, hanging out with all of the worst partners, ending your relationships in calamity, basically finding no one to date anyway, you're like, why are you talking about relationships, Hayley? I can't even find a good date at the moment. Or struggling to get past date 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 with someone that you actually like, and you're hearing terrible messages saying things like, this is the message you need to get the guy you want back, or you'll be needy if you say this to him. If you're approaching dating and you are confused, you welcome home. I'm going to sort this out for you. My name is Hayley Quinn, and I have been a TEDx speaker, coach, and main YouTuber in the world of dating relationships. And I've helped loads of women and also lots of guys as well in their quest to find love. Joining me on the show today is the awesome Charles Rare, also known as Rare Thoughts. Charles is the co-founder of Subjectivity UK, a therapist and writer. And he's here in the nicest possible way to help me kick your butt and help you to understand how you are actually the epicenter of power in your life. And if all your relationships are spiraling out of control, there's just simply a better way that you can approach things to make things go more smoothly. So welcome to the show, Charles.
Thank you for having me today, Hayley. I was just saying before that we just literally come off having a podcast of our own, haven't we?
Yeah, right, exactly. So it's a very sunny day in London, and so when Charles turned up, I was like, let's go hang out on the balcony. Charles also encouraged me to have sparkling water.
I was offered gin initially, yeah. But I politely declined.
Politely declined. I treat all my guests in such a nice way here at the Hayley Quinn household. Why I met Charles through it, actually, is co-runs this awesome group called Subjectivity UK, which I spoke at a few weeks ago, which analyzes all different issues from a perspective of debating them, challenging perspectives, pulling them apart. And so I was like, okay, I've got to get this guy on the show, because I actually think that the messages that you hear most of the time about love and dating disempower you. And you know what's even worse about them is they come in a really sneaky form, because it's often in the language that we use and our broader media, like movies, you know, like the movie where the guy is really like unavailable and a bit rubbish and is seeing two women at once, and you still kind of want him to fall in love with the female protagonist, yeah, and them to run off happily ever after.
Exactly.
And no,
it's not a true reflection of life, is it?
No, they need, like, you know how sometimes you get the person doing sign language on signing, you need somebody in the corner just analyzing this and going, this is never going to end well, this, yeah, is not going to turn into a good and beautiful relationship. And so one of the interesting things I think that we discussed accidentally off the podcast was the fact that actually women are so empowered, and the fact they don't realize it a lot of the time, it's because you said throw a veil over it was your expression.
Yeah, I think what I was saying also is that the oppression that's currently happening with women right now is no different than racism. It's just right now it's a lot more subtle.
Right.
So there's a veil being thrown over the empowerment of women and their personal evolution. And I always personally believe that that can only occur if they believe that you are already powerful. Because, mm-hmm, why would you try and break something down that isn't going to sort of, it doesn't serve a threat to you, isn't going to sort of make you feel fear, threatened?
So yeah, if something is so powerful, why would you need to bring it down? Well, I think one of the funny things and the main feminist discussions at the moment is how language can trap us. And the thing about it is it's so sneaky, you don't really see it coming. So every time you read that post which says, you know what, if you communicate your true feelings to this guy, you've got to be careful, otherwise you'll scare him off. Or that might make you needy. Now, if you look at that objectively for a second, instead of getting afraid, you start to think, hang on a minute. So that means that if I honestly express what I need and want to feel happy and secure in this relationship, then I'm chasing him away. So my expectation of relationships isn't that someone should be supportive of me or should listen to me or should spend their time investing in me. It's in fact that I should expect that if my real feelings are communicated, that either I lose the relationship or that someone reacts negatively or dismissively
to
that.
And you know what? I personally feel like the way someone reacts to you isn't necessarily the most important part. But it's more so that what that's saying is that I have to change and that person has to remain how they are. So that person can be the worst person in the world for you, but I have to sort of change to sort of cater and to be more accepting and opening to his behaviors rather than sort of say that, you know, actually my behaviors are just as important. My feelings are just as important. And it opens up the discussion or the question is to say then, well, you know, if I am, this is who I am my feelings to a particular degree, then what does it mean that, what does it mean if he can't handle that? What does it mean that if he runs away or he acts negatively towards that? So it's, I feel like it's saying a lot more about the person than it is saying about you.
Exactly. And I think you have to be very, very, very conscious that if you are maybe dating someone, you try and communicate your feelings honestly, that sometimes, you know, people cannot be the best at handling them. Be very wary of someone who tries to minimize your feelings by saying, oh, you're just getting overly emotional, or you're being anxious, or why are you behaving that way? Because they're not actually addressing what you need to make you feel good. They're just simply showing, oh, it's not my fault.
Yeah, they've made a big assumption. You know, they've made an assumption. They're saying that they're trying to define your feelings for you. And in some respects, that can be fine. But then there's a difference between the person that comes along and says, but okay, why do you feel like that? Tell me what I can do to help improve this feeling that you're experiencing. And if you're not getting that openness from somebody, then you know you're going to get the reverse, which is the closeness, the, you know, I'm not a part of your feelings. When to be fair, that person could be the person who's who's causing that. They could be the at the center of why you feel the way you feel.
Right. Often, you know, if you're feeling insecure, get this, there's a reason that you feel insecure.
No, yeah, for real.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's something that you can do to make yourself feel more secure.
No one's having that type of discussion. This is the thing. I was even talking about it today on my social media platforms. I was like, insecurities is become a very profitable thing in today's society.
Absolutely.
You know, we've got beauty companies, music, food companies that basically, you know, they sort of exploit our insecurities. And it's so much to the point where we become numb to it. We're like saying that, okay, I do have this security, but you know, my beauty is the thing that's most important here. So yeah, like, you know, you don't even see how insecure you are because the society's told you to cover it up. And all they said through covering up, they've taught you how to cover up your emotions.
Yeah, completely. And I think the part of it is being just having the expectation really that someone's not going to listen to and accept your emotions or accept you. And I think acceptance is one of like the core things you need in like that happy relationship where you can actually say what you're really thinking and feeling and know that the other person is going to be strong and secure and will listen to you and actually won't minimize your feelings or won't disregard them or won't move away from the issue. And also be, while I'm on this subject, and I'm going to complain about this as well, be very, very cautious of people who issue broad disclaimers when you start dating them. Like, you know what, just so you know, I'm not sure if I'm ever going to be ready to commit, or I'm not sure if I'm in the right headspace. This is now not your job to kind of prove yourself to them or convince them or like make them feel secure enough that they'll like you. You should just be like doing like, wow, this guy doesn't even know me yet. And he's already put a disclaimer up, which effectively says, I'm not responsible for any of your feelings. If you get attached to me, if you get drawn into this, not my fault, not my problem.
I like to ask the question as to like, why do we have that sort of, or why are some women drawn or compelled to sort of stick with a person that actually has that disclaimer? I guess it could be seen as confidence, like he knows what he likes, which even if it's not what you like, it's almost like he knows what he likes. So that is attractive, you know, it has charisma behind it. But there are sort of other questions I feel like we need to ask is like, truly, why do you feel compelled to that? I feel like there's a discussion that could lead to the nurturer aspect of a female. Where they feel like, okay, cool, they can instinctively or innately capture how his experiences might have led him to the place he is now.
Absolutely. And you know what? Some guys actually actively know this and they'll give some backstory.
Exactly. They'll give you that story. I was cheated on in the past.
My heart,
I'm
still hurting.
Not ready to give my heart to anyone again. And then you're like, oh, let me become that person. I'm going to cater to that. I then want to be the person you do open up to. There is also the other woman who says, okay, cool. Well, when you're ready, or if you're ready, you know, I'm not going to say I'm going to be around, but when you're in that position, maybe we might cross paths again. So what is the difference between those two mm-hmm. people? And I love to explore that element because, you know, there are too many people who just openly say, okay, I'm going to follow this. I'm going to go with this. And then at the end of it, you're like, ah, man, why did I ever do that? But mm-hmm. hold on, you made a decision. Why did you make that decision? Because the only way you're going to stop yourself from making the same decision again is understanding why you made it in the first place.
Right. And this is what we're talking about as well, because you've got a workshop coming up, right?
Yes.
And do you want to give the title? Because it's epic.
Yeah, so the title of the workshop is Letting Go, But What If the Past Is Holding On To You? And this workshop, I have a quite a following in a community on social media and Instagram, Twitter, and I'm very, very for empowering women in the right way, right? Because there are a lot of ways that women are being empowered, which are a bit of dead ends, right? And this is all about trying to create a community amongst people who can, because it's open to men as well, but I know there's going to be a lot more women that come because the women seem to be the people who actually want to make change, whereas men are really more stuck with their ways. They don't want to change. And this isn't for all men or all women, but the vast majority, that's what the consensus is. And
because one of our other balcony chats, right, was about the past and past
yeah.
relationships and how you can kind of keep engaging with them
yeah,
or they keep
yeah,
coming
yeah,
back from
of
the
course.
Dead.
And
how also like social media, in fact, gives us an unprecedented opportunity to cling on to the past.
Yeah, it's almost like they always hang around. We're so accessible these days. You know, before, once you broke up with someone, if you no longer went to the same school, you're not going to see them again. Unless
Woo-hoo!
You, yeah. But now social media gives you the opportunity to, you know, stay in connection. It's almost like we have this rope, and sometimes people delete numbers, but you know, you consciously know you're still going to be able to allow them to see your activity on social media. And we're playing so many games these days. So we discussed the relationship.
All right.
Yeah,
so yeah, I'm going to go there. Because you know, I like to be candid on this
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah, it's
like, whatever.
Good to be.
It's good. Well, you know what? Like, spuriously out of the blue, I had. Am I going to say this? Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, I said it to you, so I might as well say it to all my female listeners as well, and a couple of guys that are chiming in. I actually had a former partner contact one of my friends a few days ago, and it spooked me. Because it's a bit weird. It's like that blast from the past, you know? It's like, oh my God, I thought that was dead. It's like a zombie invasion in your life, but also one that carries a lot of emotions with it, because it's not like I'm a... made of like stone. I went, ah, hang on, because suddenly that those feelings of love and affection and memories
just rushes
whoosh,
back in.
Yeah, really helpfully late on a Tuesday night or something. And then, you know, I slept on it and I had to have a think, and I was like, okay, so let me pull this apart a second. And this is what I love to do, by the way, and I would so recommend any of you, if you're in that situation, don't react when your head is going whoosh.
Yeah.
Instead, sleep on it, chill out, have a think, and start to actually
dissect
the thing.
And understand it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because you know what? On paper, it's like, oh, wow, he's still thinking about me after all this. This is what my head was saying. Still thinking about me after all this time. Maybe we were supposed to be together.
Yeah.
Dun,
exactly.
Dun, dun. Because that's the Hollywood diagnosis of what's happened, but it ain't the truth of what's happened. And obviously, if that's what you think is going on, oh my God, that sounds so alluring, doesn't it? It makes you want to re-engage.
Yeah, exactly. And reestablish that connection that maybe shouldn't have ended. I need to save this so I can save myself, you know?
Yeah, and because there's only one person that could ever make me happy, and it's that dude.
Yeah.
So what we were thinking about is really, you know, when you get something like that, and it could be like, I don't know, somebody, an ex likes your picture, or you get an email from them or something out of the blue, I would just be really cautious about getting sucked down like the romance rabbit hole, and instead see it, because sometimes, and it's not like people go around doing this consciously plotting and scheming, I think it's just in our nature, that when you've had a really strong attachment to someone, people often still like to feel attached and they can't fully let go
Absolutely.
Of that bond. And it's almost like, it's like you said, that little rope of control and distance that occasionally someone just pulls on your...
toxic and just throw your emotions in disarray and, you know, make them feel that they still have this control over you. And in most cases, sometimes they do. And then they can leave. It's almost like that's what feeds them.
Right.
You know, at times. And then there's the other area we spoke about, which is
I have to say as well, it's like, because what happens if they tug on your rope and then you come out from behind the door and go, hey, all they're going to do, I swear, is go, all right, cool, got what I wanted.
Yeah. It's almost like, what did you say? It was like distance control. Right?
Yeah, distance control. Yeah.
So they do it from a distance and then, you know, they try and see what is it you're going to really do. And if you reject them, well, they're still protected because they did it from a distance. But that's why they want you to come up close first.
Like, yeah.
And ascertain where you are.
Risk.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, you take the risk. And bear in mind this as well. He ain't knocking on your door, is he? He's not knocking on your door with a bunch of flowers. He's doing something like liking.
Which means that, you know, that highlights the indecision and, you know, the indecisiveness nature that he has at that time. Because there are times, like, a guy, if he really believes in something or anyone in this, in that, for that matter of fact, they'll go all out.
Right.
They'll go all out and they're ready to fail. And they won't even perceive it as failure because they believe in that moment, this is what it's meant to be. And whatever does happen will happen.
Man, I would love an all-out guy.
Yeah, there's not too many of these guys around.
You know, I do a podcast for guys as well, Attraction HQ. That's what we're going to talk about. That's the subject.
We're going to touch on that.
Because it's really important. Because I think sometimes, also I think as women, it's so awesome to get that sense of, you know, that's, I think, part of what creates stability and security for us. So you want that intention. You want to go, yo, okay, this guy's actually putting his chips in. He's willing to take the risk. And sometimes I think by the time we reach adult life, we're so, you know, not for all fault of our own, but riddled with insecurities and self-doubts and fears.
We don't
want to
take no risks.
No,
we just want to sit in security. We want to sit in our comfort zones. And going off what you were talking about, that whole attachment, I like to consider it or title it residual attachment. And it's basically the attachment that's just not gone yet. And sometimes you don't know why you are still attached and compelled to speak to someone. But what I think is that you're actually attached to is not the person per se, but it's the experience and the lessons that you've left behind. And this is something I go into my workshop about. And what the experience is, it's a good understanding that your experience is not the lesson. Like, there are so many people on social media has taught us and the internet have said, like, you know, everybody learns from experiences, this and that. It's, you know, love yourself. All these things that sound great.
So
and
awesome.
We're like, yeah, great. But then it's like,
I'll just love myself.
How do I do that? You know, how do I actually do that? And it's understanding what it is. So the experience is not the lesson. But what the experience is that it provides you with a lesson. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to take the lesson once the experience is over. So there are times where you're feeling attached or you don't know why you can't move on. And that's simply because back there, you've left the lessons behind and you almost have to backtrack. That doesn't mean speaking to the person, but it means reflecting on your experience.
I like that. I think that's a very, very positive way of viewing an attachment to the past and to think, actually, as I almost saw it, this particular instance, in my mind, I managed to frame it in that way. I was like, okay, this is almost like there's a little mini test here. And it's almost like life has popped up and gone, pop quiz on attachment. And then you have to think. And I was like, okay, think this through. And sometimes you have to kind of rejiggle your brain to make yourself see the problem in the right way. Because what it appears to be on a surface level, you'll be thinking, oh, maybe I missed out on something, or maybe I still love him, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Unlikely to be what's really going on there. So exactly. I like that. Dig into the why.
You have to dig into it. You have to take a step back and just look at all the pieces. Imagine you're in an art gallery and you're looking at a big painting, but your nose is touching the painting. There's only so much you can see, and what your eyes can see within that peripheral is that, oh my gosh, he's back on this connection, it's meant to be. But if you take a few steps back, you start to see more and you're like, actually, what does that mean? What does this mean? What does that mean? There's so much more you can take from it. And I feel like reflection is something that a lot of people are missing out these days. We go through life and life is so fast. Like, we're in the age of technology and things are happening just like that. And we need to now actually take control and slow things down for ourselves. And I recommend with a lot of my clients is that, you know what? Every Friday or every day, whatever you pick a day, reflect on your week. and mm-hmm. allow this to become something that you're doing so frequently that eventually it becomes quite instinctive, and then you can spread it over a month or so.
Yeah, I always advocate, you know, like, don't go out on a rubbish date, save a night of the week to go lo-fi, you know, turn the computer off, turn your phone off, do something mindful, whether it's like maybe cooking a really simple meal or just sitting there being with yourself, and then the answers are always just waiting in front of you.
Absolutely. And you know what that is? It's meditation. We've got mm-hmm. this whole idea around meditation that's sit down, you know, put your legs together and, you know, start humming and try and enter yourself. And it's just very difficult. But everyone is meditating on a daily basis. The reason why some people find it difficult to sit down in their room alone is because the noises get so much louder.
Right.
And those voices are, it's almost like your inner self is trying to communicate with yourself and tell you what needs to happen, what hasn't been done, all the unresolved mm-hmm. issues. So you're already meditating subconsciously, but then you're choosing to pull yourself out of that. So you turn on music, you go out. And we need to meditate on a daily. You can do that on, you know, you can cook and meditate.
Just
cook and think about
what it is. I'm up for a walk as well.
Have a walk and think. You can make it as comfortable as you need to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to promise you the process is going to be comfortable, but the end and the results will be something that you'll be.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Satisfied with.
Yeah, and that's what I always advise as well. So if you hit that, like you're having a conversation on the phone and, you know, with the guy that you're seeing or somebody else that's important to you, and something about it just throws you off, and it's almost like you can't quite put your finger on it, but there's just a knee-jerk instinctual reaction. You know, your stomach starts to twist, you don't feel so comfy. In that moment, like I've learned this, it's like the best thing that you can do is you can go, okay, I even communicate it like this. I was like, you know what, I'm feeling a lot of things at the moment, so I'm going to take a time out to reflect on them, but I'll give you a call later on.
That is perfect.
Right.
That is what everyone needs to do.
Right. Honestly. So the trick here, get this, you say I, because it's not about them. You're, mm-hmm. you're not saying you're saying this and this and this.
I need time away from you. This is I
need time for myself. And also, it's not an endless amount of time. It's not like I'll keep them in anxiety and I won't let them know when I'm going to contact them again. It'll be like, look, I just need a few hours to let this sit with me.
Yeah, it's really just more of a, when it's the time and the concept of time, we're saying that I need to minimize my distractions.
Yeah.
I need to cease my external influences and I need to sit within me. So, you know, time in that sense, you do that, you're doing a lot more than some people are doing in a week.
Right.
Because a lot of people do not, they're going off on what's happening on the outside. I've got to do this. I've got to be here by this time. Throughout someone's, you know, 24-hour, 12-hour day, they have not even spent an hour with themselves.
Right.
So, you know, time as a concept means that the more time you spend within yourself, you're probably doing more than some people are doing throughout their whole day.
Exactly. And then I think when you do that and you get actually really comfy with yourself, you also start to value yourself more and you actually start to instinctually put your needs first. And it could be like you put the phone call down and you sit there and sometimes it takes a while for me to clock it. And then suddenly, like a lightning bolt, I'll go, oh my God, it's because they said that sentence. Yeah. That's what got me.
That's powerful.
And then the subtext of that sentence is that they feel this about me, or that's how I'm interpreting it, and I'm freaking out. So with that information, calmly, you can then re-engage and talk about what's made you feel not so good or what Absolutely. Threw you off. And then, you know what? A good partner will listen to you and they'll help to mitigate your fears. And then you'll go, oh, right, that was okay. And at no point has any plates or glass been smashed. No one's yelled at anyone else.
No, you cheater on the car outside Harrods.
Exactly. But you'll get to that place if you, first of all, aren't aware of why you feel the way you feel. And then you feel that you're not allowed to feel the way you feel and you're just being crazy. And you don't ever identify something or try and stop and take a moment to actively communicate that to a person.
It's the most powerful thing anyone can ever do. It's to say, you know what, I'm going to sit down with myself. I'm going to understand this information, this experience. I'm going to take these lessons in, and then I'm going to respond, not react. I'm going to respond to this.
Right. I love
and,
that.
Yeah, because I feel like, again, when you said that, how you can communicate your feelings from a place of understanding, it means that that person has no control over that. You now understand. So, you know, if the person, in most cases, people react. And what happens is when a guy, let's say, for example, then reacts back or responds to your reaction, you then start questioning again. He sees the weakness in that and takes control over the whole situation. Look, you're acting like this because of so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And then you're
and
like,
he tells you how you're feeling about it. Yeah.
You know, and the person who can really, you can trust who does that is the person who first understands how you're feeling. And listens to how you're feeling. And then he changes or alters his behavior in accordance with that.
Right.
That is the most powerful thing. It's one of the most powerful things a woman can do. It's one of the most powerful things a man can do. And this is why this whole coexistence is so relative today. But it's lacking.
It's lacking. It's lacking. And you know what? I wish someone had sat me down. Like, I keep going on about this, maybe like 20 years ago or something, you know, just, you know, before it even, when I was like still thinking boys would give me like nits or something, and said, look, girl.
I haven't heard that in ages.
Nits. You remember that?
Yeah.
Oh man, look at this hair. They love this hair. Yeah. When he sort of thought that, I would just think, sat me down and go, look, you know what? You're meant to identify, your job is to identify how you feel and then to calmly and clearly communicate that in a non-blaming way to the other person. Then the other person, if they're a good egg, are going to sit there, they will listen to you, they're not going to judge you for feeling how you feel, and they'll enter into a dialogue with you. And because, you know what, your needs and you feeling happy is important to them, they will adjust their behavior or reach a point of compromise with you. That is to be expected.
Exactly.
Not all this, oh, I don't think I can say this to him because what if it scares him off? What is my last chance?
They're just acting on fear. You're acting on fear, and that fear is going to turn into an insecurity, something that you're going to then make subconscious or unconscious, and then it's just going to live throughout you for a very long time.
It's true, because that's what you said, right? What was the expression you used of bleeding?
Yeah, internal bleeding. And it's that whole idea that, you know, I'm going to numb myself to this pain, I'm going to conceal it, I'm going to put a bandage over it, and it'll go away. But the whole idea is that by the time you pull it off, when you feel ready to pull it off or it falls off, you're gonna be like, oh my gosh, it's infected, there's so much more to do. And if you had dealt with it initially and understood it yourself and did what was necessary at the time, then you would have less work to do, which still means that there's still more to do. But the more and more you put it off, the more and more you choose to allow someone else to define how you feel, and you know, put things back into you, then by the time you reveal it to yourself, it's going to be a lot of work. And even that then propels you into ignoring it again.
Exactly, because you're not going to have lost your sense of you, and that's your anchor point.
Yeah.
So I think this is a badass time to ask my four questions that I ask to all guests always.
Go for it.
Okay, so let's start with the love hack. What's a piece of advice you can give to the women that are listening about how they can approach love and relationships better?
All right, so with what I do with my partner, and I have pretty much done with anyone I have been with, is, I guess, it's reflection. It's sitting down with the idea of why I'm with the person I'm with and why I fell for them in the first place. And I do that on a quite a regular basis. And sometimes they don't even know, but they can get a random message saying with a big smiley or a call. And I'm feeling so elated. And that's because my love that I have for them is self-sustained through me. So I don't wait for them to do something to refill my glass. That's a process I need to do. So I would sit down. Sometimes it's simply you can go through pictures and videos. Like, how many screenshots of pictures do we take that we just don't go through anymore? So, you know, again, that's like a part of this age of information. We take too much. So I sit down and reflect. I slow time down and remind myself why I love that person. I remind myself the things that, you know, I admire and appreciate. And all of a sudden, I'm back at square one. So that is what's important. A lot of people, I feel, do this whole, oh, you know what? They're not stimulating me anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't love them. It's like what Lauryn Hill said. Like, it's like as soon as they stop stimulating us, we stop loving them. And that means, you know, that's the basis for conditional love. So to make it unconditional, you've got to take the reason why you love that person and basically recycle it, and be the source of self-sustainment of that love. And that's what I do. And then, you know, that's what I encourage others to do as well.
I think that's lovely. And I think that's so true that I think we're living in a terrible information age in some way, where if someone isn't giving us everything we want and isn't doing this perfect, we're looking for sometimes like this perfection. And I don't think it really exists. It's like a mirage. It's an illusion. Yeah, you keep stumbling into it and you'll miss good people on the path.
It's crazy. It's like, it's almost like this desire for perfection is almost like a reflection of our lack of perfection. And that's very sad. You know, because anyone who is continuing their own development is not looking for perfection.
Right.
So, because if you understand the concept of further development and continuous development, then you would never have an idea of perfection. So it's like this, it's almost like you are stagnant and now you have this idea of perfection because you lack a perception of perfection on yourself, basically.
Basically, yeah. In short. Yeah. I got you. Okay, life hack.
My sole life hack is value. So it's where you place your value. You can place it on money. You can place it on all things materialistic. I choose to place it on time. You might have heard me through this podcast. I talk on slowing time down. And I am in control of that. I can slow time down based on how I value it and where I place that time, who I invest time with. So I feel like if you want to sort of get through life in the best way possible, you need to make sure your value is on the right thing. Because where your value is where you're going to go. As simple as that. If we place value on money, we're going to chase money. If we place value on particular type of people, we're going to chase those particular type of people. If you place value on time, then you realize that you are the center of all time. Mm-hmm. So you then choose, all right, how do I
think time
that?
Is just straight up the most important thing to value as well. Exactly. It's like the limited resource of limited resources.
Exactly. And, you know, even through the whole, when we talk about past attachment experiences, like at a time you invested within someone, you value, if you, you know, time, value it and take the lesson from that time you had in that experience. Don't ever regret on experiences, because they all have, even the worst type of experiences, there is something you can learn.
Absolutely. My favorite analogy that I made up this week for this worst type of experience thing, it's like you're on a speeding train and the train is about to go off the edge of a cliff. Mm-hmm. Someone throws you off that train. And you know what? When you hit the ground, it hurts and it sucks and you're rolling away. And you're like, I was on a beautiful journey. I was riding that thing for 2 years. Wink. And then you look at it and you're like, hang on a second. I've just actually had fate. Something's intervened here. Or maybe I just didn't address issues for so long that they've like, you know, they always say like, if you don't address something, then thunder comes. Like, you are forced to address it. And in that moment, it might be painful and difficult, but you're not on that track. You're not on that path anymore. And often that, if you take it in the right way, you can realign everything and suddenly find yourself in a much better place.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go for, like, appropriately, the romance question. Something romantic that you've done, or an experience you've had, or that someone's done for you. What's romance?
This is the most romantic. I was speaking about it with my co-founder today, actually. Because he went on this amazing date and we shared a very similar experience. So my partner now, one of the most romantic things that we've ever done together, or she's ever done, is after we met around the first time we met and I dropped her home, she said to me, what are you doing on Thursday? Now, I know that doesn't sound romantic to a lot of people, but to be fair, through my experiences, and especially being the man, you always have this, there's this expectation to set the next date, to do this and that. And I've been with a lot of girls who have basically had this expectation. And, you know, as a man, and the perception of what I thought a man was to do, I went with that. But then it did come to the point where I was thinking, like, you know what, I'm doing so much, but there's never anything that's coming back my way, you know. And it was very hard to sometimes ascertain a woman's efforts, because they weren't really making the effort. So we would go out, we could have a great time, but then if I ceased all my efforts, would your efforts level up? Would they compensate the lack of effort I'm making? And to be fair, that was never the case. A lot of people got too comfortable with the way I manage things. So for the simple fact that I've had one of the most amazing, I don't even call it a first date, but amazing times and experience with my current partner, and we're dropping her off without even expecting it, and she was like, what are you doing this time?
And what I like is how direct and open she was in her communication. Because I think no game playing. No, if you want someone,
I say that.
There's been no games. None. You know?
That is so.
And you know what
attractive.
She's got? She's managed to attract a partner that's secure and that's open to building a great relationship with her. If someone's going to, if you're going to say, hey, what are you up to next week? And someone's going to be like, oh, this person's being really full on.
I've had that, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
but
and
you
then
don't
people like, you know, I might have taken a number from someone, you know, and then, you know, I might text them, hope you got home safe, whatever, and then call them the next day. I never believed in this whole wait 2 weeks and then call them later.
Like,
hold on, we've had a conversation or something. I want to continue this before we become strangers again.
Right.
But then, there are these expectations, and I think they're very debilitating.
Yeah, because all that you're going to get then, if someone turns around and goes, wow, you're being really full on, basically, you can read, there's a little, read the subtext there, which says, wow, I'm a bit afraid by intimacy and I'm not really up for the same kind of
100%.
Relationship that you are.
100%.
So, and then you can go, right, see you later then. I'll take my Thursday night plans and you spend them more wisely.
Yeah. That's why I got to that being that person. And it was so liberating for me because, you know, if I realized that someone wasn't sort of leveling up with the efforts, then you know what? That's fine. Cool. I'm going to do my own thing. And then sometimes they come running back like, oh, you haven't messaged me or you don't call me anymore. I'm like, yeah, because, you know, you don't value me. It doesn't seem like you value your own time. So I'm kind of doing my own thing now.
Right.
And you've got to be there. So I think one of the most attractive things was that there was no game playing. She knew what she wanted. And
then you get a man that respects you for that.
Yeah.
And that's the one you want.
Yeah. That was the most romantic thing.
I love that. Really good example. And then final question, some kind of limiting belief or something you didn't think that was possible that could be true when you were younger, but you've subsequently proved to yourself, like, could it be about, it could be around work, it could be around love, it could be around life generally. I've got so many of them, from my attitude towards money to towards what I thought I could
that
achieve
I didn't
and
believe.
Do.
This is a hard one for me because I feel like I was a very aware and conscious person at a very young age. And because of that, and I was always in the moment, one thing was like, I couldn't imagine being the man I am today. I guess maybe I didn't have the expectation of who I was going to become. I was very fluid with like what I was taking in. But for example, in school, I never thought school was going to end. I just, you were there and I was in an assembly. I was like, I just can't fathom life after this.
I couldn't
fathom what life would be like after this. Is it going
to
come?
You were such a present child compared to me. I was already like planning 5 years into the future. I was like, well, what am I doing when I'm getting out of here? Another year to go.
Yeah, I feel like that balance would have been useful. But then I felt like because of that, there was a lot more I did. And I guess it was always like the efforts I'd placed in, I couldn't see the fruits that were going to grow thereafter. And was it so much of a limiting belief for me? To an extent, because then what would happen, sometimes I would like stop something, not believing it could go somewhere. And I guess even more recently, I've been really exercising and I understand the notion of, you know, following your efforts and not your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is so powerful because I can really, in some way, predict the future and almost create the future because I know the effects of what I do presently are going to have. So yeah, so I guess that was quite limiting for me not to be able to see past, like over the fence, what's over there.
But you know what I also find as well? Sometimes you do stuff and you're like, why in the world did I do that? Like,
oh, yeah,
and then mystically, like 3 years later, that skill or that discipline or the patience or whatever you took from it suddenly becomes very, very, very useful.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're stuck doing at this present moment in time something you're not loving, and you're consciously working on how to make your life better, sometimes you'd be surprised that whether it's like the discipline and the patience to deal with life when it's not that fun, or a little skill, you will usually find that it has an application that surprises you later on. So take the positive.
It is true, because every experience teaches you something, and whatever you learn from it is going to be useful at some point if you choose to use it and you understand where you got it from.
True that. So if you've liked what we've been saying, which I hope you have, because I think we've covered some interesting stuff, as you can also tell, I'm a big believer in principle-based learning, which is like, we get your mind on the right track. You look at things in the right way, things become easier. So if you're having a real head scratch at the moment about dating and love, and you're like, oh gosh, I really just want to break the cycle, I'd really encourage you to go to HayleyQuinn.com/real love, which is HayleyQuinn.com/real love, RealLove. And I've got 5 videos just waiting for you there. They're totally free, and they're just about re-educating you actually about new principles that you can approach love by. And honestly, when I worked this stuff out, it was like someone screwed my head on the right way for the first time ever. It was like a revelation. So, do it, participate. It's so little effort as well, so at least do that. And also, I think that, Charles, you've got some events and stuff coming up as well.
Yes, we do. With Subjectivity, we host a monthly show. And this Subjectivity is a platform, and it's used to make room for wider conversation. So we have different topics. Every night is themed. So we've had topics around relationships, like relationships to Rocky Climb. We've spoken about domestic violence. We've opened the narrative towards dreams. Are we sleeping on our potential? Equality. I mean, the list is endless. I think the one that you came to was the masculinity and femininity, imitations of the past or imitations of the future. And so we have a monthly show. So if you wanted to learn more or, visit one of our shows, if you could follow us on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, and it's at Subjectivity UK. My own personal workshop, which is going to be launching in June. You can find more information via Rare_Thoughts. That's RARE_THOUGHTS. I hope I spelled that right.
And yeah. I like it. You've got some badass memes going on there as well. You actually put some really, really good content out. So anyway, ladies, it's been a long one. We knew this was going to happen.
We knew it was going to happen. But then we knew it, and you just can't limit it sometimes.
No, I'm going to have to get Charles back someday. And also, if you're a woman and you are a member of my online community, the Hayley Quinn Club, which again, you can find out easily at HayleyQuinn.com/women/club. I do live events as well as having a thriving online community. I think I'm going to bring Charles down because he's got some sense. He's got some good words to say.
Thank you.
My pleasure. It's been really good having you, and until next week, I'll be signing out. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast if you've loved it, and I'll speak to you again in a week's time. Bye bye. Thank you for listening to my podcast today. If you want to find out more about me, please head to HayleyQuinn.com/club, where I have a free 30-day membership available for you to my exclusive subscribers club. You can also catch up with me on YouTube at HayleyQuinnXX, on Instagram as HayleyQuinnX, and on Twitter as Plain Old Hayley Quinn. I'd love to hear your feedback on the show. Please engage with me. Please reach out. And thank you again for your support.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.